I cast another round of divine sight on all three of us, careful that we didn't run out of light, and Jax started down the hole first.
Chapter 27, Day 6, Earth. The defense secretary opened the door to the control room.
Total blackout, sir. We're not detecting any unauthorized networks running.
The president smiled.
Thank you, Bill. He turned his head to Kendra.
And your blockchain software is still running without issues?
Kendra pressed a button on her computer.
I can still see the blockchain running.
We've had Canada and Mexico offline for 4 hours now, Senator Gates said. It would be a benefit to the American people if we just pulled everything offline right after midnight.
But you told the public tomorrow, Kendra said. No one will be expecting a blackout tonight.
We did tell everyone tomorrow, the president agreed.
But we didn't tell them what time tomorrow. If we took the core down overnight, we could probably have a good chunk of infrastructure back online by the time everyone gets to work tomorrow, the senator explained. It would save the country billions of dollars.
The president arched his hands in front of his face and twiddled his fingers together. He was lost in thought for a moment before he turned to Kendra.
Is there any reason why that wouldn't work?
Kendra swallowed, almost choking on the lump in her throat.
I mean, technically, we could go offline any time. But we should still allow the originally planned amount of time for Aaron to open the data portal.
If he was going to open anything, he would have done it already.
The senator slammed his hand down hard on the table.
And,
Kendra stuttered, trying to come up with any other excuse.
What of the people who aren't expecting it so early?
Oh, that's hogwash, the senator countered. There'll be less people affected by launching it in the middle of the night, and that's a fact.
Kendra sighed and turned to the president with pleading eyes. The president tapped his fingers together for a few moments as he considered his options, then leaned back in his chair.
Senator Gates is right. Let's go ahead and get this fiasco over with. We've disrupted enough lives already, and I'm anxious to put all this in the past.
He placed a hand on the table and looked up at the Secretary of Defense.
Get all the officers we have stationed on the phone, and let's plan to have this thing shut down after midnight.
Yes, Mr. President.
The secretary turned and walked out of the door for the 20th time that day. Kendra's heart sank. There wasn't much time left, a few hours at most, depending on how fast they were able to coordinate the shutdown. Her computer still read no signal, and as every second passed, she feared that was the way it was going to stay.
Chapter 28, Month 1, Day 6, Year 1.
There was another female's laugh when we dropped down to the second level of the dungeon. The laugh was so sinister-sounding that it sent chills up my spine. Ahead of us was a large, square room that had a mysterious table in the center, with a torch burning a strange blue light. The rest of the room was empty. Jax placed his hand on the ground and scanned the surroundings.
"This room is trapped, too," he muttered.
"Where?" Aaron asked.
Jax pointed towards an area near the table. Aaron and I didn't see anything.
"It's a single thin silk, look," Jax said and drew an arrow. "Get ready to hurry back up the ladder if we need to."
He let the arrow fly, and when it struck the line of webbing, the silk glistened and broke. The sound of steel grinding against stone bounced off the walls, and four massive pendulums with axe blades on each end swung down from the ceiling and continued to swing back and forth.
"That's our trap," Jax said.
"Someone's put in work here,"
Aaron slapped me on the shoulder.
"That would have been worse than the little dart you got."
"No kidding," I said.
Jax studied the pendulums for a moment and said,
"One at a time."
The pendulums swung in unsynchronized timing, and as they passed, they let out a loud whoosh. I had no doubt that contact with them would kill any of us, including Jax.
Jax went first, waiting for the first pendulum to swing by, and stepped ahead of it just enough that he cleared it but wasn't in range of the next one. When the second pendulum swung, he dashed forward into the larger clearing near the table. The last two pendulums swung so that the blades intercepted each other near the ground, at almost the same time. So Jax dashed ahead at full speed to clear both of them at the same time. We couldn't see him at the other end after he cleared, so we could only assume he made it okay. I went next, following the same pattern that Jax made to cross the first two pendulums, but when I made it to the table, I paused. The strange torch was sitting on top of a platform that was raised off the ground no more than a millimeter, but in that tiny crevice, I could see a piece of parchment poking out of the edge. I tugged at the end and pulled it out. You've received Schematic, Runestone of Arcane Resistance. Adds Arcane Magic Resistance. Requires 15 Intelligence. Requires Inscription Level 2. Requires Blue Inscription Powder. Durability 8 out of 10. Quality Average. Rarity Rare. Weight 0.1 kilogram. That reminded me that I still had a schematic in my bag, along with its requirements that I needed to craft. I bagged the new schematic, and after watching the timing of the pendulums, I dashed ahead and met Jax at the other side. Aaron made it through a little more sloppily, barely missing each pendulum by an inch, but thankfully he made it through unscathed. There was another narrow hallway that we passed through that led to another large square room, and inside the room was nothing but six fish humanoid skeletal remains that were resting in sitting position at either side of the room. The furthest two skeletons were gripping onto bows, and the closest four were holding onto curved swords and round wooden shields. Jax kneeled down and surveyed the room. I'm not detecting any traps. Well then, let's loot up and move on, Aaron said and skipped towards the closest skeleton. There was another female laugh that echoed through the dungeon, and before Aaron could make it to the skeleton to loot it, its bones began to shake. He stepped back, and all the skeletons began to rattle wildly. We all readied our weapons as the skeletons suddenly sprung to life and stood to their feet. They trembled as they started moving towards us, but in the most unusual way. Their heads looked limp and their bodies looked loose and limber. Their feet skipped across the ground. Name, Skeletal Puppet Archer. Race, Undead. Level, 11. Health, 100. Mana, 0. Stamina, 200. Status, Aggressive. Name, Skeletal Puppet Warrior. Race, Undead. Level, 11. Health, 120. Mana, 0. Stamina, 180. Status, Aggressive. The fact that they moved strangely didn't affect how dangerous they were. One of the bow wielders sent an arrow whizzing right past my head before any of us could figure out what was going on.
Attack!
Jax yelled. I slung a fire blast at one of the warriors, which was powerful enough to knock it back into the ground, then pivoted and slashed my sword at another one of the warriors. It blocked my sword with its shield and then swung back, which I blocked with my sword. Still, its blow was powerful, and the reverb from his strike cost me 10% of my health. This isn't good, Jax cried as he fired off a string of arrows that landed without damage into one of the warrior's shields. Another arrow whizzed by my head and struck Jax in the shoulder. He yelped and grabbed at the arrow, yanking it out immediately, then fastened his bow and pulled out his sword. I shot a fire blast at the skeleton I was fighting, knocking it back, but then I felt cold steel course down my back as another skeleton made its move on me. I groaned, and my eyes went wide, but before I turned to face the other skeleton, I saw that Aaron was about to get cleaved and fired a fire blast at his attacker, knocking it back and saving his life. I turned as quickly as I could, and a curved blade was rushing to my face. I had just enough time to raise my sword to block it, but another 10% was knocked off my health. Add that with the damage I had taken to my back, and I was at 60% health. The wound must have not been deep, as no bleeding indicator popped up. The skeleton lifted its sword and swung down again, but I rolled forward out of the way and whirled my sword at one of its legs, knocking it to the ground.
Back into the hallway, Aaron yelled. There's too many of them.
I stood to my feet, and we all ran back into the hallway towards the swinging pendulums. When I turned, I could see the skeletons that we had dropped simply standing back up and coming towards us.
What the hell? Aaron asked. They don't seem to take damage.
My arrows didn't affect them at all. The skeletons marched forward in twos, and the small hallway blocked any opportunity for the archers to hit us with arrows. Jax and I stood at the other end, and Aaron stood behind us, ready to push his poker forward in any hole that he saw an opening. The warriors swung their swords at Jax and me, and we blocked, parried, and knocked the skeletons back. But they just kept coming no matter how many times we knocked them down. I fired a fire blast at one of them, and that's when I noticed the light of the fire glisten off a tiny string that was attached to one of the skeletons. I looked up, and all across the ceiling were webs, and tiny near-invisible strands of spider silk were strung down, attached to the skeletons' bodies. It felt like a bit of a derp moment, as I should have figured it out the moment I saw the name of the monsters and the unusual way they moved. I parried one of the skeletons' attacks, and swung my sword above its head, clipping the strings that were attached to its body, and immediately the skeleton fell. "They have strings," I yelled. "Stop fighting them and clip their strings!" Jax kicked out at a skeleton, causing it to buckle, then swung across its head, and it fell. Again and again we did this until each of the skeletons were severed at the cord, and all that was left was a heap of bones and threads of useless spider silk dangling from the ceiling. When all was said and done, we all sat on the floor near the bones to allow our wounds to heal. Jax bandaged his wounds and pulled out a food ration. I pulled out two food rations as well and tossed one to Aaron. "This was supposed to be easy," I said.
"It should have been," Aaron said. "I guess one of the appeals of the world is that it's unpredictable. Even NPCs can throw you for a loop."
"NPCs?" Jax asked. "What is that?"
Aaron and I laughed.
"Don't worry about it, man," Aaron said. "It's a reborn language."
Jax scrunched his brow. He clearly wasn't pleased with the answer. While I waited for my health to refill, I pulled out my blank runestone and the red inscription powder. I placed the schematic for the runestone of minor fire damage nearby and began to chisel out the design. My creation didn't look too bad compared to what was on the parchment, but I was a bit off in some spots. I poured the red inscription powder on the stone, and it glowed, then snapped. "You've received runestone of minor fire damage. +1 fire damage on hit. Durability, 10 out of 10. Quality, poor. Rarity, rare. Weight, 0.1 kilogram.
Another not-so-impressive craft attempt. But just the one success brought my progress in inscription up to 30%. I offered the runestone to Jax, but he didn't have any items with open slots, and I was already sure Aaron didn't have any slots. So I placed the runestone up to the remaining open slot on Mithinthar's blade, and it was sucked right in. The sword didn't feel much different with the added rune, but it was more comfortable in my hands without an open groove on the hilt. Once we were all healed up, we searched the skeletal bodies, but pretty much everything that they had was trash. The swords were rusted out and their bows were warped short bows, nothing that was better than our current equipment. We passed on picking anything up and moved forward. There was a set of steps that led downward at the other end of the room, and at the bottom of the steps was a closed steel door.
Chapter 29. Month 1, Day 6, Year 1. When we swung open the door, the stench of death filled the air. Inside the room, I could see cobwebs lining nearly the entire room, and immediately my skin began to crawl. Hanging from the ceiling were several cocoons of what looked to be humanoid bodies, and a few other cocoons that just looked like heavy sacks. "What the hell is this?" I asked low.
"I don't know, but it doesn't look pretty," Jack said.
He kneeled and placed his hands against the ground as he surveyed.
"No traps that I can see."
The room was wide and long, the biggest room we had encountered so far, and the number of bodies hanging from the ceiling had to have numbered in the hundreds. At first, it seemed like the room was uncontested, but as we neared the far door, two enemies were standing guard, both holding long halberds in their hands. They didn't seem to notice us yet.
"Name, Arachnid Guard. Race, Monster. Level, 19. Health, 210. Mana, 0. Stamina, 190. Status, unknown.
The two monsters had cream-colored torsos of nude human women, both with short black hair and scaled to the size of humans, but below their abdomens were long black bodies that curved to the back, and attached to that body were eight massive legs. Some sort of half-human, half-spider abomination. I immediately felt unsettled, but the fact that they had human torsos, and nice boobs, I must add, made them a bit less intimidating to me for some reason.
Level 19? I whispered.
Are you sure you guys want to do this? Jax asked. I can probably take one of them on my own, but two of them will be a challenge at your levels.
We don't have a choice, Aaron said. The portal is in the next chamber. We have to get through. I'm only level 5, but I'll dish out as much damage as I can.
You're level 5? I asked, surprised that he was just now mentioning his progress.
Yeah, I'm almost level 6. I've been fighting monsters much higher level than me with you, so I've been getting good experience. I'm not going to say ding every time I level if that's what you're expecting.
I shook my head at the clown and raised an eyebrow.
Okay, well, what's the plan?
We'll need to take out one at a time, so focus all fire on one.
Jax turned to Aaron.
What's your archery level?
2.
Okay, then you can't learn snipe shot yet. Gunner and I will try to snipe shot one of them, and you just prepare for them to close in.
Aaron nodded. Jax and I readied our arrows and focused on the monster that was guarding the right-hand side of the door. We both paused, and I made sure my body was completely still, as my vision zoomed into the area right at the base of the arachnid's throat.
1, Jax whispered. 2, 3.
We both let our arrows fly and looked up in anticipation of 2 critical shots. But instead, the moment our arrows were close to the guard, a translucent blue shield surrounded the creature, and our arrows simply bounced off and fell to the floor.
Oh, bloody hell. Jax mumbled.
The 2 guards looked up, hissed, and scurried towards us so fast that I almost didn't have time to ready my sword. Both hybrids swung their halberds at Jax and me, nearly at the same time. And when I tried to block the swing, my sword was knocked to my side from the force. The monster whipped her halberd back in the other direction, and the sharp point of the razor-sharp blade ripped through my abdomen in the area where my chest piece had been shredded. 30% of my health was knocked away from that single attack.
You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect.
Aaron jumped in and dove his spear into the side of the spider being, and it screeched, raising its hand with a blow across the side of Aaron's face. Just that one blow took 50% of Aaron's health and sent Aaron sliding against the ground. The hybrid raised its halberd again, ready to slam it down on me, and I shot a fire blast between her breasts, trying to stop her attack. But again, an almost clear blue shield surrounded her, and my fire blast had no effect. I rolled to the side, barely missing a blow that might have ended my life, and slashed my sword against one of its legs, knocking off a chunk of hard black material. I saw a momentary spark where I landed the blow, a small amount of fire from my runestone coming into play. The hybrid reared back and started shaking the wounded leg erratically.
They're completely immune to ranged attacks, I yelled. Even my magic doesn't work.
Jax's sword clanked against the other hybrid's halberd, and he ducked, dodged, and jumped as he fought solo. I saw him land a solid blow against the monster's torso, but he was chipping away at her very slowly at best. I hurried towards Aaron as he picked himself off the ground.
Are you okay? I asked. Behind you!
I turned again and the halberd was coming for my face. I ducked, and when I raised my head back up to counterattack, the hybrid leaned forward and opened its mouth wide. Strings of thick, sticky spider silk shot from somewhere deep within her throat and landed on me hard, knocking me to the ground and locking me there. The webs stuck to my body, my arms, and the ground, making even the slightest movement difficult.
Run! I yelled to Aaron.
Aaron held out his spear as the hybrid turned his attention to him, and I knew that there was little chance he would survive for more than a few seconds.
Run, I yelled again. It'll kill you.
If I run, it'll kill you.
You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect.
My health dropped to 50%.
Fuck, I spat as the hybrid's creepy feet tapped forward,
ready to pounce on Aaron. I yanked hard against the web and tried to tilt the sword that I still clenched in my hand, but nothing was working. There was only one thing left for me to try. I concentrated on casting a fire curtain right on top of the monster. And when the flames rose from the ground, the spider thing screeched and dropped its halberd, swiping away at the flames.
You have reached level 6 in fire magic.
Aaron ran to me while the spider was distracted and used his spear to cut away the webs that were holding me down.
That works.
It seems they can block ranged attacks, but area of effect attacks are still effective. I yanked myself up from the last strands of webbing and watched as the spider continued to struggle with the fire. Jax was across the room, still battling solo with the other hybrid. He dodged a nasty halberd strike and rolled backwards, pulling out a vial of dark potion and tossed it at the monster. It exploded on impact, and the spider was stunned. Jax turned his head to us and dropped to one knee.
I'm almost out of stamina.
Aaron and I ran across the room, and I channeled another fire curtain on top of the spider that Jax was fighting, and it had the same effect as it had on the first hybrid. It screamed and began tossing itself around erratically, trying to remove itself from the flames. I stepped forward and slashed at one of its legs, severing it, then slammed the tip of my sword deep into its torso.
You have reached level 5 in swords.
It screamed and swung a hand at me, knocking another 10% off my health. Aaron charged forward with his spear and struck the same monster in the chest, and finally the beast fell over, curling its legs into a ball.
You have gained 950 XP.
One more, Aaron said.
You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect.
The pain made me cringe, and I was down to 35% health. Jack started to rise back to his feet, his stamina bar recovering much faster than ours, given his higher vitality level. The other hybrid had since shaken off its flames and turned back towards us, and screeched before raising its arms in the air and clattering its teeth together wildly. All around the arachnid guard, cave weavers began to form, about 10 of them first appearing like a hologram, and then filling out into real spider flesh.
Make that a lot more, Aaron yelled. Fuck!
Jax bumped my shoulder and held a health potion out at me.
Take this. You won't last long without it.
I shook my head and reached into my bag. No, I have another idea. We had all sustained substantial damage and were running low on stamina, so the chances of killing the guard with weavers attacking from every direction was low, and even if we did, at least one of us would likely die in the process. But I had just hit level 6 in fire magic, which meant that boiling blood was on the table. With me well below 50% health, it seemed like it was worth a try. I pulled out the scroll and started reading as the spiders clattered towards us, my hands trembling at the thought of getting pounced. But the words flew off the page, and it took only a second for me to memorize the spell.
Advancement. You have learned the spell Boiling Blood.
I focused on the spell, and heat filled me instantly. Something like bubbling sounds rumbled in my ears. I felt powerful, unafraid, and angry. A light reddish hue surrounded my body, and the spiders in front of me suddenly seemed like nothing but mere insects that needed to be squashed under my toes.
Stand back, I said to my companions.
A weaver jumped towards me, and I easily dodged out of the way, slashing at it and killing it in the process. Before it had even fallen to the ground, I was already dashing to the next weaver, killing it with a fast strike, then dashing to the arachnid guard, severing one of its legs. The guard screeched and swung its halberd, but I was far too fast at that point and had already leapt to another weaver, slicing its body in two. The 35% speed boost of boiling blood didn't seem like much on paper, but with it activated, everyone else's attacks seemed like they were in slow motion, and every time something jumped at me, I was gone before they had a chance. Aaron stood back wide-eyed, and Jax had pulled out his bow and was clipping down some of the remaining weavers when I returned my attention to the guard, severing a leg, then dashing aside and severing another. The arachnid guard fell to its side and was immobile when I severed its fourth leg, and in a last-ditch effort, it attempted to spray me with another patch of sticky web, easily dodged.
You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect.
With my increase in willpower from boiling blood, I didn't even notice the pain. Below my stats bar, I could see the icon of a blinking flame starting to fade, and I knew my time with the spell was almost up. I swung at another weaver and jumped on the back of the arachnid, driving my sword deep into the monster's back. A mix of red blood and green guts came shooting out of the thing, and it screeched wildly, knowing its life was almost over. Aaron yelled like a Viking and ran forward with his spear at full force, driving the tip right between the arachnid's breasts. The bastard was such a last-hit stealer. The hybrid's legs curled, and the hard-fought battle was over.
You have gained 1,350 XP. Advancement, you have reached level 10 and gained 3 attribute points. To assign your attribute points, open your status page. You can also increase any of your known skills by 1 level. Choose wisely, as your choices cannot be undone. You have gained 10 MP.
My health, mana, and stamina all shot to full capacity, and the bleeding stopped. Jack's and Aaron's stat bars also filled to 100%, so they must have leveled as well from the encounter.
Dude, that ability is so overpowered, Aaron said, and your eyes looked crazy as hell, red even.
He bit down on his bottom lip and raised his hand in a high five, which I returned. Aaron turned towards Jax and offered another high five. Jax creased his brow and raised his hand mockingly.
What is this about?
Aaron sighed.
It's kind of like a handshake, but more like saying good job to your friend.
Ah, Jax said, and held his hand out more openly. Aaron slapped Jax's hand, and Jax looked down at his palm awkwardly.
Let's loot these things and get going, Aaron huffed. I don't know how much more time we have.
Another female laugh filled the chamber, this time sounding much, much closer. It made the hairs on my skin stand on end. This place is creepy as fuck, I spat.
The portal is in the next room. We'll be out of here soon enough.
The two hybrids weren't carrying anything but their halberds, and they were both identical.
You've received Shimmering Halberd of Bloodletting, 10 to 35 attack damage. Requires 20 strength, durability 8 of 10, quality average, rarity rare, weight 5.7 kilograms, plus 5 strength, plus 10% critical chance, plus 50% chance to cause bleeding.
Aaron couldn't use them given their strength requirement, but because of the great stats, I placed both in my unburdening bag and watched them get sucked into the other world. I planned to give one to Aaron when we got out of the dungeon, and I'd taken the other to be dismantled or sold. We watched as Jax opened the mouth of one of the hybrids and stuck his hand deep down its throat. It was gruesome to watch, but he didn't seem bothered by the fact that he was elbow deep in the strange creature's internals. When he pulled his hand out, a slimy gray sack came sliding out with it. Arachnid sack, he said. Not too useful for alchemy, but I can sell it for a lot to a vendor. It seemed the things I witnessed in Eden's Gate just kept getting weirder and weirder. Where the hybrids were standing guard was a tall iron door, and Aaron stepped up to it and tugged viciously. The door scraped against the stone of the floor as it swung open, and what I saw when it was fully open made me want to drive my sword into my skull so I could respawn at the runestone. Giant spider eggs filled the room, and tattered webs hung from the ceiling. There was only one creature that I could see inside, however, and that was a massive hybrid spider, the size of a monster truck. Its 8 enormous legs clung to a huge web that was etched at the far side of the room, and the web bounced up and down erratically as the monster went about weaving more into its web. Unlike the guards, which didn't trigger my arachnophobia to its maximum degree, the boss hybrid didn't have flesh like a human, and a nice set of tits to throw me off. Instead, its human-like torso was decrepit, and its flesh looked more like a corpse that had been resting under stagnant water for weeks. Its hair was matted, and while its face looked somewhat human, 4 massive fangs pinched together on each side of its mouth. Frankly, it was the scariest thing I'd ever seen, and I had to take a step back and catch my breath to keep from panicking.
What the hell is that? Aaron asked.
I turned back to have another look.
You have failed to inspect your target. You have failed to inspect your target. You have failed to inspect your target.
I can't get any information about it.
I can't inspect it either, Jack said. It must be a pretty high level. I do have a spell that might work, though.
Jax placed two fingers up to his nose and closed his eyes. A tiny sparkle rose into the sky and started floating towards the creature in silence. Eventually, the sparkle reached the creature and disappeared. After his spell, I was able to see the creature's details.
Name, Arachnid Queen Puppet Master. Race, Monster. Level, 29. Health, 500. Mana, 200. Stamina, 350. Status, unknown.
Level 29, I muttered. That's higher than the Swamp Lord. The spider turned around, raised its head, and strings shot from its fingers and up to the ceiling. It laughed violently and moved its arms around as if it were playing with something from afar.
It must have been what was controlling the skeletons on level 2, Aaron said.
Sorry, guys, but this is the end of the road, Jack said. We've got to turn back.
We can't, Aaron said.
He pointed towards a discolored rock to the right of the web that was slightly lighter colored gray than the rest of the room.
That rock isn't really a rock. It's the hidden portal. We have to get there.
Jack sighed. We can't get there. Did you not see how much trouble we had with two level 19s? That level 29 will eat us alive. Literally.
Aaron shook his head. We can't turn back.
He turned to me.
This is what we came for. We have to get to that portal or everything is done. You, me, this whole world is finished.
I understand, I said. I really don't want to fuck with another spider, but we've got to try.
Jax shook his head. I'm sorry, but this is as far as I can go. The creature there would sense us inside and attack before any of us got close to the portal. There's no way we would be fast enough, and sneaking is unlikely to work. Unfortunately, I'm not a reborn. I won't get a second chance.
I nodded to Jax. I understand. I don't think we can ask you to go any further. But is there anything you can suggest we do to help our chances?
Max looked at the giant spider as it bounced up and down on its web.
Against that? No. Maybe if Kronos were here, we'd have had a chance. But I suspect you'll both be respawning at that runestone soon enough.
Jax kneeled and placed his hands on the floor.
I don't sense any traps inside the room, if that helps.
Jax stood and I reached out to shake his hand. Thank you for coming with us this far. We couldn't have made it without you.
It's been fun, Jax said with a grin, and he pulled the slimy spider sack out of his bag. And I got some decent loot, too.
Thanks, Aaron said and gave him a handshake, too.
Jax turned and started back towards the entrance of the dungeon.
I guess we're on our own now. How are we going to do this? I asked.
Leroy Jenkins it? Aaron questioned.
Oh, hell no, that won't work.
Well, we can't fucking kill it, that's for sure. Should we try to sneak?
My sneak skill is at level 3. That won't work.
My skin crawled as I watched the monster lift its creepy legs up and down off the web. I don't even want to get close to that thing.
You want to try to fire blast it and train it down the hall?
No, it has 200 mana. It can probably summon more spiders like the guards. If it does that, we'll miss any shot we have at this.
Well then, what's your idea?
I gulped. I had an idea, but I didn't like it too much.
Stab me with your spear.
What?
Stab me with your spear, I repeated.
Yeah, I got that part. Why the hell would you want me to stab you?
When I cast Boiling Blood, my fear disappears, and with the huge increase in movement speed, it might be enough that I can dodge its attacks for a bit.
If I can keep it distracted long enough, that should buy you time to jump into the portal. And then what?
And then I'll probably die. The likelihood of that thing not hitting me or casting a spell on me is pretty low once I get its attention.
What? I don't want you to-
Look, I interrupted. You said that this world depends on it, right?
I don't want to be eaten by that thing, but the pain will be a small price to pay if we can make it to the portal and make things right.
Aaron dipped his head. He nodded slightly and sighed.
Are you sure?
No, not really, but fuck it.
Just stab me and let's get this over with. Aaron sucked in his bottom lip and bit down. I could tell that the idea was hard for him to cope with. He pulled his spear back and said, "Thank you, Gunner," before slamming it hard into my leg.
"Oh, shit!"
I screamed as I grabbed at the wound.
"Why my leg?"
I didn't want to hit any vital organs and get an accidental critical hit. He pulled the spear back and rammed it again in my shoulder.
"Oh, fuck!"
I screamed. My health was down by 30%. He pulled the spear back and slammed it back into the exact same shoulder.
"You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect."
"Ah!"
I cried.
"Shh," Aaron said. "You might attract the spider if you make too much noise."
I wince. "Why do I have the feeling you're getting enjoyment out of this?"
"Trust me, I'm not."
My health was down by 40% before Aaron grabbed my head and lifted a hard, flying knee to my jaw, knocking me down and putting me below the 50% mark. I groaned as I grabbed my wounds and picked myself back off the floor.
"I'll get my payback for that one day."
"If we make it through this, I'll let you," Aaron grinned. "I'm bleeding, so I'm going to have to make this quick." Aaron holstered his spear and nodded. I pulled my sword out of its sheath and held it out in front of me.
"What's with the blade?" he asked.
"If I'm going to die, I might as well make it feel a little pain before it takes me out." I smiled heinously and ran inside the room. My hands started to tremble as I got closer to the massive spider, but I cast boiling blood on myself before my anxiety got too extreme. My body raged with heat, and suddenly I didn't fear the spider at all, nor had a fear of death, despite knowing that death was imminent. I shot a fire blast at the spider queen, and it hissed and turned to me, jaws clamping in an almost delightful manner that prey had entered its nest. It jumped off its web and scrambled towards me with an alarming speed, then jumped again like a cat pouncing on its prey. I dodged the pounce, but it didn't require effort. I was faster than the beast with my boiling blood active, but not by the same margin as the monsters I fought in the previous room. "Over here, asshole," I yelled, making sure its attention stayed on me as I watched Aaron out of the corner of my eye, running for the portal. The queen shot a ball of webbing out of its mouth, and again I dashed to the side. I ran in a half circle as the spider lifted each of its legs and slammed them down at me, trying its best to crush my body. And then I rolled towards its underside and heard a zerp sound. When I looked up, Aaron was gone. He fucking made it. I glanced to the boiling blood icon under my stats and saw that it was already near fading. I knew I would be dead soon, but I at least wanted to get a couple more strikes off before I ended up curled in a cocoon and hung from the ceiling like the rest of the monster's victims.
I swung out my sword to the inner side of one of its massive legs, knocking off a small piece of its crispy outer shell. To my surprise, the queen screamed and reared its leg back, and I dashed from underneath it as it fell back down with a resounding thump. The beast grabbed at its head with its arms and shook around furiously as it continued to cry and scream at the top of its lungs. It looked like it was in serious pain, and I was perplexed at what was happening until I looked down at a message that I hadn't noticed the moment I made my strike. "You have applied torment to Arachnid Queen Puppet Master."
"Fucking hell, Mythinthar," I thought to myself.
I turned and scrambled for the portal as fast as my legs would allow while the queen continued crying out in agony. Halfway through the room, my boiling blood faded away, and my feet slowed to a normal run, but I still felt like I had a plus 10% in run speed, as I knew what was waiting behind me. I heard the monster recovering from my on-hit effect, and I turned my head briefly to see it climb to its feet and scuttle towards me. My heart was beating, and I kept telling myself over and over to stay calm and put everything I had into my legs. 4 more steps. 3 more steps, 2 more steps. I glanced behind me one final time and saw the pincers of the spider moving towards me, and I jumped, diving headfirst into the gray, discolored stone. Zerp!
Chapter 30. Month 1, Day 6, Year 1.
My body slammed into the hard wood of a floor, and I slid forward, landing onto something tough and pointy. Beer spilled all over my head and into my eyes.
You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect.
Fuck, I groaned.
Gunner, you made it! How?
I rubbed my eyes, clearing it of the beer, and saw that I was in a large wine cellar, with beer kegs and bottles lining every inch of the walls. Aaron was standing there with a bottle in his hands. My health was down to 25%, and I reached into my bag for a potion and bandage as I spoke. I got a lucky on-hit effect on the Spider Queen. I barely made it into the portal. Aaron smiled.
I can't believe it.
Me either. If I had been a second slower, I'd be dead. I wrapped a bandage around my shoulder and leg, then downed a health potion. Aaron pulled another wine bottle off one of the racks and used the tip of his spear to pry it open. He tilted his head back and started chugging.
Have a drink to celebrate, he said, pulling another bottle off the rack and holding it out towards me.
I'll just have some beer, I said, and ducked my head under the beer that was still falling out of the broken keg. The foamy liquid tasted like heaven, and I needed it. It had been the longest day of my life.
Spiders, ugh.
I lifted myself back up and shook my head when I had my fill, and Aaron tossed his wine bottle to the ground.
Let's go find my boss.
Aaron turned and climbed a tiny wooden ladder that led to a trap door. He pushed it open, climbed up and into the castle. I followed right behind. The floors and walls of the castle were mostly a beautiful brushed stone, but as we marched down the hallways, I noticed that many of the rooms had wood and marble features. Sculptures were everywhere, and paintings I recognized from Earth hung on the walls. The Mona Lisa, the Son of Man, Saturn devouring his son. I guess in Eden's Gate, Rupert Winston could have anything he wanted.
Are we safe here? I asked. This is the Mastalands, right? Permadeath? We're in the Mastalands, yes, but I don't think Dr. Winston would hurt us. Be on guard in any case.
We approached a set of tall double doors, and one of them was open. I could hear the slight sound of someone humming from inside. Upon the sound reaching our ears, Aaron started into a jog.
Hey,
I muttered, and picked up the pace to keep after him. Aaron slapped his hands against the open door and stopped at the entrance.
Dr. Winston,
he said in a desperate tone. The humming stopped, and there was a demonic hiss that answered Aaron's call. Inside the room was Dr. Winston's library with a view overlooking a dark, foreboding landscape. Books lined the walls, and the room looked just like I remembered from the broadcast on my first day of the game. Dr. Winston sat behind a large wooden desk, covered in a brown robe, holding a pen over a piece of paper, as if he had been writing something before he was disturbed. Beside him was an astonishingly well-endowed woman wearing nothing but a dark red thong and dark leather boots that rose to her knees. It complemented her pink-hued skin, and her beauty rivaled that of some of the elves I'd seen in the Vale. Well, except for the large demon wings that were extended from her back. That was a little weird. The succubus held its mouth wide, revealing sharp fangs that looked like it was thirsty for our blood. I placed my hand on the hilt of my sword, not sure what to expect.
Aaron, Dr. Winston said. You logged into Eden's Gate? Already?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of time. We have to talk, Aaron said.
What? Wait. How did you get here?
He scanned Aaron up and down.
You're level 6. There's no way you could have gotten past the monsters in this zone.
I placed a hidden portal to here in a dungeon inside Grimora.
Aaron shook his head.
But that's beyond the point. Please, can you listen?
Dr. Winston narrowed his eyes and dropped his pen.
I'm listening.
Aaron looked up at the succubus.
Maybe without this, whatever it is, ready to violate us?
Dr. Winston nodded his head at the succubus, and she walked seductively past us and out of the room. An odd, intoxicating smell followed her, and my mouth watered as she disappeared down the hall.
Deadly. Don't worry, Dr. Winston said. She can't harm you. This place is in the Mastalands,
But the inside of the castle is the only place where characters cannot attack each other in any way. I made it that way, in case someone sought me out.
Why didn't you tell me what you were going to do at the keynote?
Aaron demanded as he stormed into the room and placed his hands on Dr. Winston's desk. Dr. Winston leaned back in his chair.
How could I tell you, Aaron? What would you have done? I trusted you, but this was too big. I had to keep much about the world a secret, including my plan at the keynote.
You have no idea what you've done.
I know exactly what I've done, and I'm glad that you made the decision to join me here. Now you can have a wonderful, eternal life in a much better world.
I stepped further into the room and interrupted their debate.
Why did you block us from logging off?
Dr. Winston looked to me and then to Aaron.
And who is this?
This is Gunnar Long, a player. He helped me get here, Aaron said.
Dr. Winston reached a friendly hand out to me.
Pleasure to meet you, Gunnar.
Aaron shook his head and slammed his palm on the desk.
No, stop, listen. Outside, I mean on Earth, right now, people are trying their damnedest to shut Eden's Gate down.
Dr. Winston laughed.
They can't do that. The CPU blockchain will make sure this world persists forever.
No, Aaron said again. You're a genius, Rupert, and you thought of virtually everything before you did what you did. But the one thing you underestimated was just how far people would go to bring this place offline.
And why would they do that?
Dr. Winston shrugged.
I've created a world where the crippled can walk again, where the chronically ill can live out fruitful, healthy lives. I've created an opportunity for humanity beyond what was previously possible.
But you cut the Earth off too soon, Aaron explained. No one believes that people are really living in here. You believe, I believe, but that's because we've experienced it. The people who are non-gamers, they can't get their head around it.
Well, that's too bad for them, then. If they can't wrap their heads around it, I guess they'll miss their chance. But they'll never be able to shut this world down. That would take a literal global blackout, and there's no way.
That's exactly what they're in the process of doing right now, Aaron said.
Dr. Winston laughed again.
Impossible.
He shook his head.
The Nexicon software is on far too many devices. They couldn't shut it all down. There would be far too many moving parts.
Right now, on Earth, Aaron spoke slowly, 90% of the world is probably undergoing a blackout if their plans went as intended. There'll be a near global blackout in less than half a day.
Dr. Winston shook his head again and gave a cocky smirk, but I could sense a little bit of doubt in his eyes.
It won't happen. It just won't work.
But what if it did work? Aaron asked. If they shut the CPU blockchain down, we're gone. Everyone in Eden's Gate is gone forever. This world that you worked so hard to build would have been for nothing.
Rupert swallowed hard and locked eyes with Aaron.
And what would you have me do? I can't reverse what's been done.
Aaron placed a finger on the desk.
I need you to open the communication port with Earth. Kendra should be standing by waiting for us to connect.
I'll do no such thing, Dr. Winston scoffed. The whole idea of Eden's Gate is to have an isolated, real world. This is not a game.
Then prove it to them. Open it, and prove to them that we're alive in here, and that it's not just a game.
Aaron's chest heaved as he stared daggers into his boss.
No one ever believed you could create something as magnificent as this. So don't underestimate the other people's ability to do the impossible. My life depends on this world now as well.
Dr. Winston took a deep breath, and there was a long silence.
Please,
Aaron pleaded.
Very well, Dr. Winston said.
He reached into a tiny drawer of his desk and pulled out something resembling a thin laptop that looked completely out of place in Eden's Gate. He flipped open the lid and started pressing keys as the screen lit up. Chapter 31, Day 7, Earth.
New York is down,
the Secretary of Defense exclaimed. Most of the New England states are down.
Good,
the president replied.
How much longer till we're offline here?
Senator Gates asked. No more than 30 minutes and we'll have global darkness, the secretary explained. The president gave a head nod and his secretary left the room. Beep, beep. Kendra's heart thumped when she heard her laptop and rubbed her finger over her touchpad to turn her screensaver off. Establishing connection with Eden's Gate. Wait, she shouted. I'm getting a connection. Her computer beeped two more times and then flashed before Dr. Winston, Aaron, and an unknown appeared on her screen.
Hello, Kendra,
Dr. Winston said with a smile. Rupert! Kendra mashed a few buttons to send the image on her computer to the projector that was on the wall. She turned her laptop to the president and stood to move behind him, along with Senator Gates. I'm with the president.
Well, hello, Mr. President,
Rupert said. The president's face was flat and confused.
Hello, Dr. Winston. I hear you have a plan to shut Eden's Gate down,
the doctor said.
Dr. Winston, the president said firmly, what you've done is inexcusable, and I only wish that you were here on Earth so that you could face punishment for your actions.
Mr. President, I have done nothing but created a new world and allowed millions of people to join me in this lovely place. I assure you that anyone in Eden's Gate now will be better off than on Earth.
This is ridiculous, Senator Gates exclaimed. How do we know this is really Dr. Winston? This could be some sort of scam from Kendra here.
I'm real. Everyone in here is real, Dr. Winston said. Just as real as you sitting there. Our consciousness is just present on another plane of existence that operates under different rules.
Hi, Aaron, Kendra said with a smile.
Hello, Kendra, and good job.
Aaron winked and raised a fist. Dr. Winston cleared his throat.
I implore you to stop whatever it is you're doing to shut down Eden's Gate. If it worked, and that's a big if, you would be destroying millions of lives in the process.
Lives? Senator Gates barked. The only lives are here on Earth. I don't know what kind of setup this is, but there is no real life inside of a computer.
Dr. Winston chuckled and turned to the unknown man.
Why don't you tell them about yourself? Tell them if you think this is real or not.
The young man in the tattered leather armor swallowed.
My name is Gunnar Long. I lived on 116 Sycamore Street, apartment 12 in Los Angeles, California. I worked at Best Foods before I came here, and I am definitely alive and existing inside of this game.
Fake!
Senator Gates exclaimed. The president rubbed his chin.
So, more than 5 million people are supposedly in your world, and you only have one guy there that doesn't work for Nexicon?
Dr. Winston smirked.
Oh, I can show you more.
He tapped on his computer a few times and selected a random player to broadcast back to Earth. The image on Kendra's screen switched to the view of a mid-50s man walking around a green grassy hill, picking herbs that were growing out of the soil. He whistled while he worked, not seeming to have a care in the world. A female voice called out from somewhere.
Dinner is ready. Get your ass home soon.
The man looked up and smiled. The doctor switched the image back to his library.
People are living their lives out here.
That could have been anybody, a computer-generated person,
Senator Gates said.
Doesn't mean a thing.
Rupert sighed.
Well, do any of you know someone who is logged in? I can give you an image of their life now.
Senator Gates leaned forward and glanced at the president and Kendra before turning back to the screen.
My niece's name is Terry Gibbons. She's one of the ones who died when she logged into your stupid game.
Dr. Winston typed the name into his computer and immediately found a Terry Gibbons. He switched the view over to her. Terry, an early 20s lady dressed in basic cloth attire, was sitting in an inn with a few other humans, laughing and drinking beer. Festive music filled the air. She raised her mug up to one of the men that she was sitting with and their cups clanged. She took a chug out of her mug, raised out of her seat, and started dancing with the wide smile on her face. The image flipped back to Dr. Winston's castle. "Was that the right girl?" Dr. Winston asked. The senator's eyes softened, and his jaw was slack as he gave a slight nod of his head.
"It looked like her, but I've never seen her like that," he muttered.
He bowed his head low and went into thought.
"She can't possibly be that happy."
"She's alive, Senator. Let Eden's Gate be," Dr. Winston said.
"It's up to you how you want to handle new people entering the game, but I'm sure you can see how real we are here. Why would you want to destroy us? Destroy Terry?"
Senator Gates looked up to the president, but he didn't speak.
"What we're doing here is wrong, Senator," Kendra said. "We need to put an end to this shutdown now."
She turned her head towards the president.
"Mr. President?"
The Secretary of Defense poked his head into the room, holding a phone up to his ear.
10 minutes and we'll be at Global," he said.
He eyed everyone in the room, noticing that the tone had changed, and clicked off his phone.
"Is everything okay?"
The room sat in silence.
"A few days ago, I was right there with you on Earth," Aaron spoke. "And now I'm here, no different than before."
The president clenched his jaw and then looked up to the Secretary of Defense.
"End the blackout now, and start bringing everything back online."
There was an audible sigh from Kendra.
"Yes, thank you."
Senator Gates sat silent, lost in his own confusion.
"But we haven't finished the operation, sir," the secretary replied.
"I want you to issue press releases in the morning, saying that the operation was successful, and that Eden's Gate is offline," the president ordered. "Continue with the recall and destroy the VR units, and don't stop until we have them all."
"But we," the secretary started.
"That's an order, Bill. I want the public to think that Eden's Gate is no more, but we're going to leave it running, for now. We've received sufficient evidence that leads me to believe that people are actually living inside the game. Or at least, something is going on that we don't understand."
The secretary's eyes dropped, and his face twisted as he tried to process the president's words. He nodded and turned to exit the room.
"Dr. Winston," the president said, "if we're leaving your world up, I'd like to maintain an open line of communication."
Dr. Winston shook his head.
"I'm afraid I can't do that, Mr. President. Eden's Gate needs to operate outside of any earthly influence."
"For my peace of mind, Doctor," the president urged, "I'm compromising for you, so you compromise with me. A monthly meeting would be sufficient."
Rupert snarled. He didn't like compromises, but he didn't want to deal with more attempts to shut down his creation.
"Every 6 months, I'll open the communication port and we can have a discussion."
The president shifted uncomfortably in his chair.
"Fine. So long as your world isn't causing any yet-to-be-seen harm, we'll reconvene in 6 months."
Dr. Winston nodded.
"Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Kendra."
The screen flashed, and the no-signal message reappeared. Chapter 32, Month 1, Day 7, Year 1. Dr. Winston slapped his hands together and exhaled.
"Well, that's taken care of now.
Thank you, Aaron."
He smiled as he scanned up and down his friend's attire.
"I guess you must have killed a few orcs on your way here."
"More than just orcs," Aaron replied.
"Well, I never would have taken you as the heroic type."
Aaron chuckled and slapped a hard hand down on my shoulder.
"I'm hardly a hero. If it weren't for Gunner here, I would have never made it."
Dr. Winston smiled.
"Thank you, Gunner."
"I have a request," I said sharply.
"Oh?"
Dr. Winston asked with a raised eyebrow.
"What's that?"
"My girlfriend logged into the world with me, and I'd like to find her. I was hoping you could tell me where she is."
"I see."
Dr. Winston's eyes lowered, and he looked thoughtful as he considered my plea.
I'm trying my best to avoid playing God of Eden's Gate. I want everything to happen naturally here,